She's a marketing maven. She has defined the marketing strategies for some of South Africa's biggest companies. But here at High FM, we just call her Dina Diamond. This is Monday Marketing.
Dina Diamond, a very, very good morning. It's 12 minutes past the hour of 8. How are you?
Oh, so fantastic as we edge closer to December.
We are nearly there. We are there.
We've been there for at least a month.
Yeah. I'm on air, I think, till December the 5th. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that's only this week and next week.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Who's giving you off so early?
I don't know.
I have to speak to Kathy about this.
Yeah, exactly. 12 minutes past 8. It's also Black Friday on Friday.
It is.
Please talk about this.
I'm panicked. Are you not panicked?
Panicked, because
yeah,
it's just too much. It's too overwhelming.
I know.
It's coming at us from everywhere.
Exactly. Have you prepared? Have you done?
I mean,
like,
I even see
done?
That my virus, antivirus on my computer's got a Black Friday special.
I know, I
kid you not. It popped up and it said, take advantage of our Black Friday specials to renew your antivirus. Virus. I said no.
Exactly. But you say no.
I'm saying no.
You know, you hold strong, Howard.
Right, exactly. Right, so because why buy an antivirus when you could buy shoes? Right.
Or both.
Exactly.
With their prices and the discounts. So yes, let's take us back quickly to Black Friday, where it came from, because just in case
yes,
your listeners don't know that, where does it originally come from? So it can actually be traced back to 1961 in Philadelphia, where there was like huge amounts of traffic for the pre-Christmas shopping post-Thanksgiving. So officially Black Friday is the first, like it's almost the opening of the Christmas shopping season. And it's when people go, and also when retailers at that stage were going from the red when you're in debt into the black when you're going into profit. So that's sort of the start of it. Mm-hmm. And it has just gone mad since, I mean, it hit South Africa, I think in 2014. And Take A Lot were the first ones to actually come out with it. And just so actually, this is a quite an interesting tidbit. So I was at a talk with Richard Branson a few weeks ago.
I was just at lunch with Richard Branson the other day.
No, I wasn't at lunch. I was at an event, unfortunately. I would have been, I'd love to have lunch with him. Drop it while it's hot.
Absolutely. Good for you, Marketing Monday. I love it.
He's got to get involved. 100%. This is the brand. And so he was on a panel with Kim Reed from Take A Lot, so the CEO of Take A Lot.
Interesting.
And it was a very interesting discussion, and they were just talking about sort of like the main things that make business sort of so successful, etc. But I did manage to get to speak to Kim afterwards, and he was saying about Black Friday that the first time someone actually approached him, it was one of his marketing people, and they were saying, yeah, we need to get involved in this Black Friday story. It's, you know, obviously very much an American concept originally. And the actual marketing person said to him, but isn't Black Friday a bit racist?
No.
And he said that they left the company and they came back consequently. And he said he reminds them of that all the time. So it's just
mortified.
A great story. It's a great story. No, it's fantastic. And listen, they actually call it the Blue Dot Sale. So they actually do differentiate themselves slightly and they call it the Blue Dot Sale because obviously the Take A Lot brand is a blue circle, which is fantastic. But they have gone from making about R1 million turnover on that first year to last year almost 200 million just on that.
And Take A Lot have had some issues in terms of the technology and the robustness of their technology.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think people, again, because it was such an unknown concept, Black Friday, the first time, yes, they absolutely fell over in terms of their technology, and there were so many people logging onto their website. I mean, literally at like exactly midnight, it starts on the actual Black Friday. This year, it's the 29th of November, so this coming Black Friday. But that technology just wasn't able to cope with the actual influx of people on the site, and it totally fell over. And every year it's been their challenge not to fall over. And he's reassured me that it shan't.
They won't this year.
But what they've actually done, and what we've seen a trend with the retailers, is they're all starting early or they're extending. So people do panic that, oh my God, it's Black Friday and it has to start now. But what they're actually doing is they're either starting, there are a lot of like pick and pay, all of that has started the week, saying it's 4 days pre-Black Friday. So this is Black Friday week almost. So they've totally like adapted the concept to work for the retail.
Right, to actually try and soften the amount of
people. The influx.
Right. I just want to go back to the conversation that we were having around Shabbat travel about public transport in Israel in Tel Aviv. Rene says, my view is that on buses running in Shabbat, so long as Israel remains a Jewish state for the Jewish people, after all, even the non-observant people are Jewish, so long as their mothers are. So as long as the non-observant don't interfere with the observant, I don't think it's a problem. She says further, and one more thing, so long as it does not cause more of a divide between the Jewish people, because there is enough of that already. That is from Rene. And Mervyn says, I would comment that it's a chilul Hashem, chilul Shabbos in Tel Aviv, but since you don't acknowledge my SMSs, why should I bother? That is from Mervyn. Mervyn. But very rarely, actually, do I not acknowledge anyone's SMS, especially if it is one that I don't agree with. In fact, I like the ones I don't agree with, as all of our listeners will know. It is possible, Mervyn, that I don't see some of your SMSs. I know that when I send a test SMS to the station, it doesn't come through. So what I'm going to recommend that you do is install Telegram and send us a telegram, because then for sure I will receive it and you will be able to even see that I have. So the telegram number is 061-895-1019. It is 8:18. We are talking about Black Friday. Somebody that I do some consulting work for asked me the question, it's an interesting one. Is there a negative perception to Black Friday, in the sense that because you're getting these messages and these emails and these things from everybody, does it eventually get to a point that people are irritated by the bombardment and everybody trying to get in on Black Friday? Or do we, as consumers, do we just look at it and say, well, actually, that's a good deal.
So I think Black Friday is actually different to major marketing messages that come out during the year, because it does work towards a period where people are buying end of year gifts, they're buying Christmas presents, and also at a point where people want to get stuff that they've been wanting to get for a while. So I personally always judge it by my own response.
No, well, I think it's a very valid way of doing that.
And I actually don't get irritated by those messages, because there are a lot of ones where, like, if you go into a website, that it actually says opt in for the newsletter for Black Friday.
Right.
And it automatically makes you think, oh my gosh, if I don't, I'm going to miss out. I better quickly. There's almost a panic mentality. And I think if there is something specific that you're looking for, that you do want to actually get that communication. So if you're being bombarded with random stuff, you can totally just delete it. I mean, you get that stuff all the time.
Right. And we expect it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't get irritated. And I don't think most people do get irritated with the Black Friday specials, even though every single business has jumped on the bandwagon. Mm. I mean,
So you're saying they should.
It's a marketing opportunity. And I think consumers, in their minds, because it's heading towards the Christmas season and the end of year, people naturally are in that buying zone. They're in that mode. So if you're not taking advantage of it, no matter what your offering is, I think you are being a bit silly. Because why not? Don't just think, oh, I'm not getting on the bandwagon because everyone else is.
Yes.
You're missing out an opportunity.
Time is 8:20. I'm chatting to Dina Diamond about Black Friday. I'd love your thoughts. 34519. That's the SMS line. Or you can telegram on us on 061-895-1019. Time is 8:22. I'm chatting to Dina Diamond. We're going to wrap up the conversation around Black Friday once we help Zanati out a little bit.
Yes.
And then we're going to be talking about Donnie Gordon, Sir Donnie Gordon, who is being buried this afternoon at West Park. All right, Zanati, what did you want to know from Dina?
So I'm feeling so anxious about this Black Friday thing, because it's the first time that I will be participating. I've never participated because it's always before payday. But at least this year,
29
is on payday. So where do I even start?
All right. So there are quite a few guidelines in terms of a Black Friday, especially when you're participating and you're anxious and it's your first time participating.
Yes.
Okay. So participant. So what you have to do is make a wish list. So you have to know, what do you actually want? So if you just delve into it, if you just dive straight head first, you're actually going to be completely lost. You need to know.
And you're going to buy things you don't want.
Exactly. Guys, you need focus here, and you need...
So put away the computer.
You need the Navy SEAL.
Take an old-fashioned pen and a paper.
That's it, exactly.
And write down what you actually need or want to buy.
Or really want. So, yeah. Okay. So maybe start with a need, but often it moves to a want.
Look, I think we've probably all got what we need. It's what we want.
Yeah. So, and like those things that you've always, like maybe that new pair of sunglasses or like stuff you've been holding off on, you think, oh, it's a bit much. But actually on Black Friday, you can get stuff literally up to 50% off, which is like, you're like, why? Like not buy it.
Okay. All right. So first, I need to write down what I need.
You need to sit down in a quiet zone with a pen and paper. Old fashioned.
Okay.
And you say, what do I need? Okay. Even for your home. I mean, there are, I swear, there are discounts on appliances. You can get a washing machine for 50% off.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest sell points last year for game and for all of that were actually home appliances.
Mm.
And there's a huge, huge sale on that. So, and if you look at all the companies that are participating this year, from the macros to the games to the, like the stacks, everywhere, they all do Black Friday specials. All of them. I mean, literally, it's become completely like integrated into South African retail. So you have to make a list of what you want.
Okay.
Then you also have to put in the order of importance. So you have to start with what you want the most. Okay. Because then you're going to start hunting. So you have
Gina
to.
She's a Black Friday coach. She's actually a Black Friday coach.
I love
guys,
it.
Guys, if anyone wants coaching, please do call.
Yeah, forget Donnie Gordon. Can we just keep focusing
Not as
on
much
this.
As your fasting coach, but
right,
still.
Right, exactly.
And then also you have to have a budget. So once you've got your order of things, you must have a budget because you may not be able to get everything, even with the unbelievable sales, which there are.
Mm.
Right. So then you've got to have your budget. And then you've got to have, once you've got your budget, you have to have reference pricing because what some of the retailers actually do is they raise the prices. I know it's unscrupulous. They raise the prices of some of their goods and then they discount them for Black Friday. So when you're looking at it and it says, 50% off or 20% off.
Yes.
You have to know, is it 20% off from what it was last week or is it 20% off what I can get anywhere else? So you have to go and you have to find out what it is in the real world.
Okay. So the main thing is to do all that preparation before.
Yes. No, there's
cost. Oh, you cannot.
It's like training.
You've already left it
like
very late.
It's like the comrades. You can't just go in there. Okay.
I mean, some of us already tapered. Yeah.
Exactly. You've got to be tapering for Black Friday. Okay. So you've got to get that reference pricing. So when you see a deal, you can't just rely on what it says off. You have to know relative pricing.
Okay.
Okay, guys, these are, I mean, this is gold. These are nuggets. Golden nuggets.
I feel like an expert.
And then you have to actually go and you have to check your list of stores. So you have to check where it's available.
Okay.
And then you've got to go and look through all those stores and find the best price.
Okay.
I'm exhausted already.
Right.
No, but this is actually making me less anxious.
All right. And then
it's because there's a system.
See, there's a system.
You wanted those, I don't know, you wanted a new laptop.
Yes,
you identify what that's what you need.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You find out what the price should be,
the
current prices, and then where it's available, and then you can do some research.
And also you've got to check the specs. So if you might just see a laptop, but you've got to check that it's actually what you want. So even if you see an iPhone, it could be an iPhone with 8 gigs of data, whereas actually you think, oh wow, that's an amazing deal, but actually don't be fooled by it and don't get pulled into the excitement of it because you're going to panic that there may not be like 3 left at this price.
Right.
So just make sure you're looking at all the detail.
Do most of the stores already start listing their prices
for
Friday?
So I have to say, I've been in every store I go into. I'm like, do you have Black Friday specials? And they say, they haven't told us yet. So they don't want to preempt. So they haven't started yet. But as I say, there are stores that are starting beforehand, before Black Friday. And there are stores, so again, it was like an online store, like Superbalist and Take Lot, they've already started with their pricing. And they've also got like pre-specials.
I was horrified. I went on sale.
You went on sale.
Somebody sent it to me. My book went on sale.
How much are you going on sale?
I felt cheap. I was marked
Did
down.
Did you feel cheap?
Yeah. I was marked down, but take a look.
But maybe just temporarily.
No, just temporarily.
And maybe it's just because they really want to push you out there. So it's actually, and also, so another really, really, really important thing to worry about is if you are looking at it for a gift or for someone for December, like specifically, and you need it within the immediate future. The what's happened, because there's been such a like a growth in these these purchases on and everyone's getting involved in Black Friday. I mean, look, you're even in there, Kate, as a first time buyer. So you have to check the delivery times, because you may not be able to get what you want on time in terms of fulfillment. So there may be delays. So the normal fulfillment can be like 1 or 2 days. Now it might be a week, it might be 2 weeks, they might run out of stock. So just be very, very mindful of that.
Okay.
And then you have to just literally wake up early, get onto that computer and go and see what stores are available. And
Howard, will someone be doing the news for me on
Friday? Yes, of course, most definitely. Time is 8:28. Dina Diamond, he built an amazing empire.
Absolutely. I mean, Liberty Life today, I mean, exists in over 18 countries across the African continent. He actually founded it in 1957 and eventually listed it on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange in 1967. It currently has a market capitalization of 33 billion rand. So he created, and that was one of the first South African companies that actually did list. And he literally created, and which became a global empire because he was so revered internationally. And was obviously knighted by the Queen for his contribution to the arts. So he was an absolutely outstanding individual whose life impacted literally across the globe. Unbelievable, unbelievable individual. And in fact, not only that, but when he, in terms of the awards that he did win, he actually won Businessman of the Year by the South African Sunday Times, and that was in like 1968. And then in 1999, he was named the Achiever of the Century by the South African Financial Services, Financial Mail. I mean, that is
the
quite
Achiever
an accolade.
Of the Century. Incredible.
Like, I mean, of the century. I mean, that is just insane. Yeah. And if you look at, well, he didn't just contribute from a business point of view. First of all, he had that idea of creating this life, like giving back to making people actually being empowered and actually being able to look after themselves and make sure that they had financial means for anything that came up. And again, Liberty really grew from a single offering and from an insurance point of view to disability, to illness, dread of disease. And he just, I mean, Liberty, I remember when I was growing up, Liberty was the name in insurance. There was actually the only name at that stage.
Yes.
And that was all due to him. It was a complete visionary. He was an accountant by training. He just created an absolute empire, which was so revered. And he himself was such a philanthropist that he didn't just obviously have that money for himself. He gave, you've heard from Zanati's reports, to Pretoria Business School, so the Donny Gordon Business School, which will live on forever. And the hospital, the Kentish Hospital, to Wits University, which is the Donald Gordon Medical Center. So all of those things.
And the foundations continue to give
absolutely,
money.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, his daughter obviously is part of that as well, ongoing. And he was just completely revered across, within his life, and it'll be obviously for the rest of history, I think, and the rest of time.
Incredible. David Major, David Katz, good morning.
Well, you mentioned that he was an accountant. We share a common history. We were an accountant at the same firm, Kessel Feinstein. We both did articles there, although he did articles a few years before.
Right, a little ahead of you.
A little ahead of me, yes. Right. And I also had the privilege of working for Liberty Asset Management for a period of time in my misspent youth. And just one little story. Donnie was living in London at that stage, and they put me on the switchboard at lunchtime. Because they thought it was pretty safe for me to go and to go and sit there and man the switchboard, and guess who phoned?
Staff the switchboard.
Is that
I don't know.
I don't know what they call it today.
Look at how PC you are becoming.
Yes.
Sure, I hadn't even thought about that one.
I sat at the switchboard.
Right.
And guess who phoned? Donnie Gordon. And he spoke in that British accent of his. He said, "Who are you, young man?" I said, "My name's David Katz." He says, "Tell me how my shares are doing." So I said, "Excuse me, sir, which one are your shares?" And he flipped. He absolutely flipped. The next moment, Jamie Inglis, who was sitting in the office next door, ran and pulled me off the...
Was that you got taken off the switchboard?
He obviously phoned Jamie Inglis to get me off the switchboard.
Get that idiot off the
switchboard.
That's when I knew there was no future for me at Liberty Asset Management, because the 2RC was running down the corridors in an absolute flat panic. I mean, what chance was there for a little guy, you know, working at Liberty Asset Management?
What a great story.
That's a great... Listen, there was no caller ID at that point. In fact, were you pulling out the wires? You know, when you had to switch... those old switchboards...
You're not a blip.
At
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I tell you, Jamie Inglis pulled out every wire on their switchboard.
They shut down the system.
They shut it down. Oh,
yeah. That is absolutely incredible. What a fantastic story that is.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, he was such a legend. Again, with the English accent, so obviously South African, British, spent a lot of time. Mm. When you get knighted by the Queen, I mean,
yes, you can't get knighted in a non-British accent.
No, you have to have.
Absolutely not.
Yes. There are lots of people. And in fact, you know why? Because he gave £20 million to the Royal Opera House.
I find it interesting.
£20 million. That's a few rand these days.
Yes.
Do you not find it interesting that he's being buried here, if I heard you correctly?
Yes.
He's been buried in West Park. He's come back because obviously he was resident in the UK.
But he must have been here. I mean, I'm sure they haven't brought him back yet.
Not sure. I don't know. That's an interesting point.
Sorry?
No, I'm saying when he passed, I think he was.
Okay.
I mean, I know that he has been getting progressively frail over the last few years. Yes. In fact, when I met him many, many years ago, he was already getting a bit frail.
Right.
But I mean, always respected, always giving. But I do know that obviously he did spend a lot of time in the UK. But I think maybe that if he is getting buried here, then maybe he was. Does anyone know? I have no idea.
Yeah, 34519 or 0618951019. I'm not certain. But what I am certain about is that he is being buried this afternoon at 3:30 at West Park, the funeral for the late Sir Donald Gordon. And what an incredible legacy! How many people do Liberty even employ today? It's many, many thousands. I mean, it's a magnificent.
I think I saw 6,000 somewhere, but I could be wrong.
It's a massive institution.
No, it's absolutely massive. And you know how many brokers grew up as like that was their foray, like with you as well, like into
brokers,
that Liberty.
Actuaries. It was Liberty
Accountants.
Life was very, very much Liberty was a rite of passage actually for many, many young South African business people who were starting out in the world of commerce.
Well, certainly it was a great privilege for me to even get into Liberty Asset Management. Mm-hmm. It was a sort of very, very rarefied top air, ivory tower stuff.
Yes.
The year and a half that I spent there, it stood me in good stead for the rest of my life. Really had a lot of great experience, met fantastic people, captains of industry. So, yeah, absolutely. It was the engine room of the economy at one stage.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I was speaking to someone the other day who actually started out there literally when just after Donald actually like started the whole business. And he said it was a very, obviously very different business to what it is today. And it wasn't so reliant on technology. And it was very much sort of that people to people engagement, which it still is today. But obviously branching out and being in 18 African countries and being successful is just an absolute enormous feat. It was unbelievable.
Absolutely right. It is 8:39. Dina Diamond, thank you. As always.